Separate us from your love. Our sin was washed beneath the crimson flood. Who can grasp the wonder of the cross? Where the Lamb of God laid down his life. Separate, no power too great. I'm standing firm in your righteousness. The life that you gave, no one can take away. Nothing can take me from your hand. Nothing can separate, no power too great. I'm standing firm in your righteousness. The life that you gave, no one can take away.
Lift up a song to him.
For showing us the video and talking about silver birch. Who wants an adult version of that? Who's ready to get on one of those tubes and go down the hill? It looks like a blast, doesn't it? An awesome time of worshiping the Lord and having some fun together. Also want to say, Wyatt and Libby, thank you guys very much for leading the youth praise band today. And yeah, Carter, BK, Giselle did an awesome job. Thank you very much. Well, today we are continuing our series through the Ten Commandments. And today we are looking at Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. This is the ninth commandment. Let us pray, and then we'll have the reading of God's word. Gracious God, we thank you for this good book. We thank you that, here in our fingertips, before our very eyes, we have your word. Lord, we know that this is your inerrant, infallible word, that this is truly what you have to say to us. It's not just a suggestion. It's not just some words of a few men 2,000 years ago, but you spoke to the prophets, to the apostles, and to teachers through the power of your Holy Spirit so that we would truly have your word, and we thank you for it, and we ask for your help today as we look into the Ten Commandments, the ninth one specifically. Lord, we ask for this help. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus 20, verse 16. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. As Christians, New Testament Christians, we look back to the Old Testament. We look back to the words that were spoken to the people of Israel. And maybe for you, you wonder, well, what good are the Ten Commandments for me? I'm a New Testament Christian. What are the Ten Commandments for? A lot of people in our world get this wrong. A lot of people think that they need to look at the Ten Commandments. They need to look at the rules from God. They need to follow those rules. And if they follow those rules good enough, then they're going to get into heaven. But that is not the gospel story at all. The gospel story is this, that we are sinners. We can look to the Ten Commandments and we can go, oh yeah, I messed this one up yesterday. But the Father sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins so that I will have eternal life. It is not by my works that I am saved, but by the precious, wonderful gift of grace given to me by Jesus. That His blood covers my sins. That I have received His righteousness because I don't have a righteousness of my own. This is the saving work of Jesus. This is the gospel. So what good are these Ten Commandments? Well, we don't look to these to get saved. We're saved through Jesus and through Jesus alone and His work on the cross. What they're good for is pointing out our sin. These Ten Commandments, they talk about God's will and His ways. They talk about, really, they point to God's very nature, because God is righteous. And these commandments go against His righteousness and His holiness. So we can look to these, and they will point out our sin for us if we're not sure. They also help direct our lives. You know, we are Christians. We are Christ followers, and we've received the wonderful grace of Jesus. We have new life. And with a heart filled by the Holy Spirit, we want to live in line with God's will and His ways. We want to do things His way and not our way. And we can look to the commandments and say, you know what, I want to live God's way and work to follow that. Now, one of the principles that we we can look at when it comes to some of these later commandments is we can do the opposite of what they call for. Because we know that God's ways are the best way to live. And out of gratitude for the saving work of Jesus, we can live into these. So we've talked about these over the last few weeks. Instead of murder or hatred in our heart, we can love one another. We can do the opposite. Or instead of adultery, we can love our wives or our husbands, and we can invest our time in them. We can spend time with them. We can cherish them, and we can cultivate strong relationship with them. That's the opposite of adultery. Instead of stealing, we're called to be generous. We're called to give. We know that everything that we have is from the Lord, and we can participate in His good work by also being generous and giving, not just of our finances, but of our time and our gifts. And then now for Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, our reading for today, instead of lying, we can be people who tell the truth. This makes incredible sense for redeemed, grace-filled Christians. We are our new creations. We have new life. We are Jesus' disciples. And instead of lying, we can tell the truth. Why? Well, we can go back to God's nature again. Who is God? God is truth. It's one of His attributes, and it comes from His nature. God does not lie, and He will never change, and He can be relied upon. God is truth. And this is backed up by what we hear in the New Testament from Jesus. Remember that we are a church who follows the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe that there are three persons in one God. How does that add up? We don't know. We're not sure. It's a great mystery to us. But when we look at Scripture, we see that there are three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, and we live with faith and trust that what we've been given in God's holy word is the truth, because God is truth. Well, here's what Jesus says. He says in John 14:6, I'm sure you've heard this one 100 times. What does Jesus say about Himself? He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. A little bit later on in John 14, in verse 17, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit. And who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Our God is truth. And our God loves the truth, and our God prizes the truth. But as we know, in this fallen and broken world, we encounter lies every day. Every day. We have lies from scholars. You know, the thinking today in academia is that there is no God. And because there's no God, there's no universal truth. It's this idea that whatever is true for me is true, but it might not be true for you. How does this play out? This messed up idea? Well, as Christians, they would say, you know what? Your God is right for you, and it's the truth for you. But for the Hindu, who has ideas of reincarnation, well, that's their truth, and that's true for them. And we're thinking, what? That makes absolutely no sense. There is only one universal truth. And as Christians, we proclaim that this, what we have here, the Bible, is the truth. Not just the truth for us, but the truth for the whole world, that what God has laid out in here is the truth about humanity and all of the universe, that it is true. If it weren't true, universally, it would be silly for us to follow this at all. But we proclaim that this is the truth about us, about everybody else in all of the world, and all of humanity. We believe that there is universal truth because God is truth. So we have lies from scholars with some very different ideas about what truth is. We can turn on our social media, we can turn on our televisions, or maybe even our radio, and we can find on a daily basis lies from journalists and our media. And we have some different words that we could use. We could talk about propaganda, we could talk about narratives, we could talk about exaggeration, and those things today seem to be more important than the truth. You know, the internet is an incredible blessing. The other day I had to fix something on my minivan. I looked it up on YouTube. I bought the part off of Amazon. It was $20. It got here in 2 days, and I had it fixed in about 5 minutes. So easy. The internet is an incredible blessing. I can find information that I'm looking for in a millisecond. But the internet's also a curse for us too. We know there's good, but we also know there's bad. You know, we can think about bloggers and vloggers and pundits and columnists, and we know that there's a lot of irresponsible lying that happens. And we know that they are working to destroy with half-truths. Half-truths. And we can, when we talk about lying, I can say one word, and we don't have to say any more about that word, because we all know what I'm talking about. I can just say the word politicians. Right? Now, some think that lying is a little sin. That lying's just a little sin. But the truth is this. The truth is that lying is satanic. And lying is in the nature of Satan. This is from John 8:44. Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees, says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Lying is satanic. And we can go all the way back to creation with this commandment too, the lies and deceit from the devil when it came to Adam and Eve eating from that tree that they were not supposed to eat from. And God, who is truth, he hates lies, and he hates lying. We can turn to Proverbs 6:16-19. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Lying, and we can think about all sin here, but lying and all other sin, what does it seek to do? It seeks to take God off of his throne. It's like saying, you know what, I'm not bound to God's will and his ways. Instead, I'm going to do things my own way. And lying, along with breaking the other commandments, it really reveals what's in your heart. And in the case of lying, it's often jealousy, envy, pride, hatred. We're talking about unfaithfulness, being far from God, being not children of the Father, but children of the devil. Now, with that background, we're going to get specific with this command. I believe that this command, this ninth commandment, it includes lying, but it has a specific focus. I'll read it again for you. It says, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." So in the commandment, there's a specific type of lying, and it's giving false testimony against your neighbor. This is lying to hurt someone, lying to cause trouble, and doing this not for righteousness' sake, but doing this lying out of self-interest or self-gain, maybe to enhance your position or enhance the power that you have over a situation. Doing it to harm them out of hatred, envy, jealousy. We're talking about big lies. We're talking about little lies. We're talking about half-truths. We're talking about fibs, deception, exaggeration, gossip, misleading, misquoting, misinterpreting, twisting words, misinformation, taking things out of context, and slander and defamation of character. And I think it even goes a step further. This is a quote from a Puritan named Thomas Watson. He says that he that raises a slander carries the devil in his tongue. And then this is the second part. And he that receives it carries the devil in his ear. I thought that was an interesting quote. He that raises slander carries the devil in his tongue, and he that receives it carries the devil in his ear. So it's not just about what we're willing to say, but it's also what are we willing to entertain? What are we willing to listen to? When it comes to some of the things that we get hyped up about, whether it be politics or something else, what are we willing to listen to and believe because it agrees with our position? All right. Now, I want to address a couple of questions that came up for me as I was investigating this. And the first one has to do with this. Is there a difference between exposing and slander? Is there a difference between exposing and slander? And I will have to say yes. Yes, there is a difference between exposing and slander. We are called to expose false teachers. We are called to expose hypocritical sinners. If we do this, we are to do it only with a righteous intent. Only with a righteous intent, with the idea that we are doing so because we want to save the church. We want to save the church. We want to save Christians from hearing blasphemous lies. It's something that when we reveal or expose false teachers, we want to do it with all humility. We don't want to do it out of envy, jealousy, or hatred. So we have to be careful. Jesus says that we need to make sure that we take the plank out of our own eyes before we remove the speck or sliver in our brother's eye. So it's something that we have to be very careful about. And perhaps we even need to follow the Matthew 18 principle. This is going to your brother first to talk with them. And if that doesn't work, then taking two or three along with you for the discussion. And if that doesn't solve the issue, then you tell it to the church. Slander, on the other hand, is lying, stretching the truth, leaving stuff out, and telling everybody through gossip with pride and evil intent. I hope you see the difference there between exposing and slander. Because there is a difference. I know sometimes maybe you'll hear something about, well, don't judge me. And Christians get the idea that you can never say anything about anything. Well, that's not true. We are called to expose lies and hypocritical living when they come up. But we need to make sure that it's from a heart that is in line with the Father, full of humility and looking for Christ's righteousness. And it's not about our own envy, pride, or hatred. All right, so that was number one. There is a difference between exposing and slander. And number two, this was an interesting question. Are all lies forbidden? Are all lies forbidden? Can we never, ever, ever lie? Well, what about during wartime? If you're fighting an evil enemy, can you put out fake orders and on purpose make sure they get to the other side so they get thrown off? Is that forbidden? Or what about, what if you worked for the CIA or the FBI or the police and you're dealing with organized crime? Maybe you're working undercover. That's a lie. Is that okay? And then we can turn to Scripture too to ask this question. Well, what about Rahab? Remember Rahab? She lied about the spies. Was that okay? And what about the Jewish midwives in Egypt? They were lying to the Egyptian officials about the Jewish boys. Well, what about that? Scholars totally disagree on this one issue. So I will just say that if there is room here, when it comes to lying, if there is room here, we're talking about an extreme minority of cases. And it's not something that we're going to encounter in our everyday lives. So those are two questions that I had along the way. Maybe you have more that you want to discuss about some other questions when it comes to lying. Maybe if you're having a meal with somebody today or sitting down with your family or another for lunch, maybe that's a discussion that you have. Now, we'll wrap this up with some practical application. We are new life people because we have Jesus. He is our Savior. As new life people, we are called to be truth tellers. We're truth tellers because we know Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. So, we need to make sure that we are careful. We need to make sure that we are careful on social media. We should not blindly support what people say on social media about others. I don't know about you, But I've gotten pumped up about one thing or another on social media. Pumped up. And I went around telling everybody about it. You know what I read about so-and-so on social media? Man. But then, later on, I discover that what information I was given was merely a half-truth. It wasn't the whole truth. We have to be careful about what we look at on social media and what we talk about when it comes to social media. We want to make sure that we are not just blindly supporting what people say on social media. You know, I saw a post earlier this week about a Waupun business owner. And it was interesting to me because I'm looking at this whole thing about slander, and yeah, it certainly could be put in that category. We need to make sure that we watch what we say about others. We want to make sure that we do not tolerate slander when other people bring it to us. We want to walk away from gossip. We want to stop having itching ears for the latest dirt. We instead are called to be honest with our dealings, to speak truth about our neighbors, and to be people of integrity, honesty, fidelity. We are people of the Word who have new life, who also should have new speech. And it's not just a one-time thing, but each day we should continue to have newer and newer and newer speech that lines up with Jesus. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we ask for your help today. Lord, we want to live in line with your will and your ways. And Lord, we thank you so much for the saving work of Jesus in our lives. And because of that, Lord, out of gratitude, we want to live for you. We want to grow in our sanctification day by day, and that includes our speech. Lord, guide us away from slander, away from gossip, away from trying to one-up each other with half-truths. Lord, we ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen.